are listening to Putnam Proud, a podcast about the Putnam County Charter School System in Edenton, Georgia. Our shows will highlight the school system, families, teachers, staff, and the community.
Hey, welcome back. It's Steve here, and I've got another exciting episode of the Putnam Proud podcast for you. And we're talking about the War Eagle Games. And with me today is Mr. Eric Arena, who's the superintendent of Putnam County Charter School System. Say hi to everybody.
Steve, thanks for being the host again, and I'm glad to be here with you.
Glad you're here. And now also with us is Tierra.
Hello. Thank you, Steve.
And also we got Roger.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to meet you. Glad to be here.
And Molly.
Thanks again. I'm very happy about doing this.
Well, glad you all are here. And we're talking about the War Eagle game. So what is it?
So our War Eagle games are sort of our local games, akin to Special Olympics, but we've made it our own. We thank Mr. Arena for being supportive of us in that effort. When we brought it to him, he just said, do it. And so we did it, and as a special programs director and having a lot of programs under my belt, I did reach out and to our adaptive PE coach, Roger Parham, and to Molly Jones, who had done some things in other counties with local games, and they really put in some hard work, and last year was our first War Eagle Games, and it was amazing. And so this year we're doing it again, adding another district to come on and enjoy the War Eagle Games with us, another smaller district in our area, to give our kids a little more competition. You know, we want want them to be competitive. So that's what War Eagle Games is all about, for our students with disabilities to come out and show their athletic spirit.
So now this is the second year? It started last year?
Yes, second year.
So tell me a little bit about those experiences of getting it going. What did it take to make it happen? And what do you remember most from last year?
Well, we were really fortunate from the standpoint of it was a great year to kick it off because we had a brand new stadium that we were able to do it in. The community involvement from that standpoint, it really made it nice, those kids being involved there. And really what we're doing is we're really showcasing what that student population can do, not what they can't do. You know, and from that standpoint, everybody was kind of not really sure how it was going to play out. And then once it was over, they were like, that was really cool. You know, it showcased each age group, K2, 3, 5, middle, and high. They all competed. It wasn't necessarily gender specific or anything like that. So it was really, really good. Molly pretty much took care of the game activities, which ones we were going to select and choose. And everything was a modified event as it relates to an Olympic Games event, like javelin. We had javelin, but it was a pool noodle. Mm-hmm. You know, we had shot put, but it was a tennis ball. We had discus, but it was a frisbee. You know, so we modified it from a safety concern, but also, but it allowed me to work with those things, those skills in my adaptive classes as well.
I would say my favorite memory from last year was definitely the send-offs at each school. Seeing how they sent our athletes out with hallways full of, you know, their peers. And, you know, sometimes our students with disabilities, they aren't always seen in school. So this was a time for them to shine. Our schools, from the primary school to the high school, they sent them off in big ways with pom-poms and signs and cheers, hallways filled with their friends and yelling. And then, of course, when they entered the stadium, it was the same thing. We had our mascot there from the high school. We had our cheerleaders who led them around the track, and everybody was cheering. Our pep band mm-hmm. was there playing the drums and music, and those kids just ate it up, walked around and waved and just had them. They were on. They just felt like they were royalty at that time, so
they
I really did. Liked that.
They were the center of attention and the focus. It was really nice.
It was also nice to see all the general ed population at the school. We had ROTC helped us out. The drones class, they came out and flew drones and took videos of it. Our audio visual, they did a whole story about the kids, interviewed kids. So it was neat. From the high school, all of our kids were very excited about it. Like last year we had Partners Club with only was there, six or seven, and this year we've doubled it, and then I have more kids who really want to be involved, so it's been great, because we see it even in the classroom, in the PE classroom. The other day we played kickball, and watching how the kids went from before treating different kids in the classroom separately. I have a special needs in our fourth block PE class, and when she went to go kick the ball, the amount of just, everybody was so excited about her going, and everybody was fumbling with the ball until she got to score a home run, and everybody's high-fiving. It's kind of brought that out even in the schools. So the kids got to see them, and they're starting to see them more and more often through PE and through the War Eagle games, and everybody's been talking about it. So it was great to get this community involvement with the rest of the members of the school.
And with the help of our parent mentor, Crystal Williams, she has helped to spread the news of Partners Club. So we now have Partners Club at the middle school, at the primary school, at the elementary school. So there are Gen Ed students who, you know, do more than just War Eagle games with these students. They come in the classroom weekly, twice a week sometimes, and do activities and just hang out, you know, to see how they're doing. They see them in the hallways, they're speaking, you know, that's my friend or whatever. So it just really builds a camaraderie and good friendships for our students with disabilities.
You know, one of the things that I have to ask is you know, when you're doing this, can you talk a little bit about the different types of challenges that some of the kids have that you were involved last year?
Yeah, that's really the interesting part of it, because you have some kids that have profound, severe physical disabilities that when you think athletic movement and things like that inhibits them, but there's also some cognitive issues that come into play. And it's a full range, it's a full gamut, you know, whether you're talking about on the spectrum with autism or you're talking about some physical disability. They're all being able to involve, you know, they're involved to the point to where they feel like they're competing. Because last year we gave them ribbons, we gave them medals. And to see those kids' faces when they literally got a ribbon for being first, second, or third. You know, because nowadays sometimes we look at competition as sometimes maybe not a great thing in society. When competition really needs to be, it doesn't matter what your ability is, you need to learn how to compete. You know, and they really enjoyed that. But the different activities with the different levels, she was talking about the kids coming from the high school, and I think this was really important. We had the football group come over last year, and there was a young man, I'd love to say his name, I don't know if we're able to do that, but I'd had him in a class previously, and just to see his growth by being able to partner up with some of those kids, it puts them in a position to really know how fortunate they are, you know, and the things that they have, even though sometimes they feel like they have struggles and things, which they do, but that also puts it in perspective for them. So
it's interesting. I can remember, you know, last year's game, and we'll come back and we'll talk about, because I think you had a competition for the t-shirt design. So let's remind me to for y'all touch base on that. But you think about these kids in our community that are disabled. You know, they sit in the stands and watch their peers and colleagues and contemporaries throw a ball or run or play football, and they cheer for them just like they were down there on the field. And this is an opportunity for those roles to be reversed.
Yep.
Those star athletes are the ones in the stands cheering for these athletes. Mm-hmm. And you know, Coach, you talked about how you watched the growth of some of our young people, and then to watch their maturity as they understand and start to truly think about their situation and how fortunate they are. Because oftentimes, even as adults, you know, sometimes we can get down and think that you know, oh, woe is me. But when you truly open your eyes and look at and look around to see, and you start to realize how fortunate you are. But I think what impressed me the most about most of those athletes that went out there are normal athletes to go out and support our special athletes was the generosity and the camaraderie that they exhibited. I mean, that was pretty touching to me from that standpoint.
And it wasn't fake. No. It wasn't fake at all. It was a true empathetic understanding of what those kids could and couldn't do, and they wanted to help. And I think that's something that's important for them to learn.
And, I mean, last year we had students in wheelchairs they were running the 100-meter dash, 100-yard dash.
Being pushed by another student.
And one particular student, she's like, again, let's do this again. She was ready to go.
The boy was a little cute.
Yeah, the boy was a little cute.
Yeah, I know, it was funny. Like,
again, you're going to push me? Mm-hmm. So just seeing the range of, you know, abilities and, I mean, the student athletes having – people from Young Life come and volunteer for us, students from the college come, and they just, I mean, they were all hands on deck. Whatever we needed from them, whatever student we paired them with, they were cheering them on, they were pushing them on, you know, holding their hands, doing whatever they need to do to keep them, A, safe, mm-hmm. and B, keep them energized and ready to play.
So share with us about the T-shirt design. Remind me of what that was about.
So Miss Arrington, she offered it up to her advanced classes. And her advanced classes with, what's the course, the graphic design, they went and they submitted their different ones. And then we came to the committee, and we all got to vote on our favorite design. The kids made the designs in different colors to go on different colored T-shirts, and we had one winner at the end, and they will get a T-shirt, and we're going to have a big thing with them. We brought them all donuts, and they were just so excited to get to do that. But I thought what was really awesome with these kids is they didn't just want to compete for the T-shirt. They wanted to know more about the program. So Tara came and spoke with the class and told them what all we were really about and what this meant to these kids and why we were doing that. And I thought that was very neat of the kids to take the time to ask those questions.
And I mean, they asked in-depth questions. Do, you know, do we need to include that they have disabilities? Do you want it to say that? You know, what do you want the slogan to say? How do we represent them? What's the proper wording?
They were very technical, too.
Yes,
we
very
had to
technical.
Ask what some of this meant.
What does that mean? A 4x what? And do what? But they were very technical, but also just very interested in making sure whatever design they did make, it represented those students in the best way possible. They didn't want to offend anybody. They didn't want to, you know, make someone feel bad because they had a certain word or whatever. So they were very, you know, just very cautious and wanted to make sure they put the best design forward to represent that those students.
So last year was our
first year.
In a long time. Because I think we have done some mm-hmm. things like
yes.
this.
Yes, we had.
There was some time off. So this yep. is the sort of the re-kickoff of, mm-hmm. of the War Eagle Games. This year, year two, mm-hmm. what's the date?
March 22nd.
Mm-hmm. March 22nd, 2024.
2024.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. 5 years from now, mm-hmm. you've had an opportunity, it's successful. Where do you see this? What's our dream for this?
Well, my dream for this is to definitely include some of our smaller sister districts, reaching out to some of them and potentially having all of them here.
So like a regional
event for our region, and making it live with a whole DJ and, you know, different things, and almost like a family affair. Like bring your other kids. There'll be this to do. There'll be that to do. So definitely I would love to see it as a huge community event. I mean, maybe even to the point where we have to hold it on a weekend because everybody's like, no, we want to be there. We want
right. you know, different days.
Or different days, yeah. you know, multiple days, because everybody wants to be there to make it a fun family event that everyone wants to attend, you know, and, you know, like a Friday night football game. I want them to be mm-hmm. that excited about it, and I want to have that large of a crowd there to support these students and these athletes.
Yeah, where I really visualize it going to is the same as what she said, obviously increasing through growth. Obviously the first year doing it, you wanted everybody to understand, mm-hmm. and we had the vision in our minds,
yeah.
all right, and then it kind of got put out there last year. Now everybody kind of understands. But like she was saying, a bigger event. I mean, like, you bring your brothers and sisters and we have jumpies down mm-hmm. in the end zone. You know what I'm saying? And things, that whole carnival atmosphere. I know this year we were talking about the torch and getting the, she said the thing about send-off. That was such a huge thing last year because they all filmed it and videoed it and to see those kids' smiles. But like this year, we're going to have an Olympic torch. Now, obviously, it's not going to have real fire, but it's going to be a simulated. It's going to start at the primary school, and the Monday of that week, they will walk through the school, and the kids will clap for them and understand what's going on. Tuesday, it will go to the elementary, Wednesday, middle, Thursday, high, and then, of course, the high school will keep it because they usually lead us in, since they're the oldest group. And that will be cool. And then we're having Sean Pope and his Trailblazer group at the elementary school. They're building us an Olympic flame that will house the flame. And so that will light. So I think that type of growth is what we see. And just every year adding something a little more and a little more and a little more.
And this year we are also looking to get some local celebrities.
Yes.
To come in with for us.
Homecoming queens.
Our homecoming queen, our dairy festival queen, Miss Georgia, whoever's out there listening, we would love to have them come.
Or anybody local who is pretty famous, we'd love to have you come.
And we're just, you know, we're going to print off a couple of pictures and just have you have them to sign. Any of our prior football players who are now playing at the college level, come, wear your jersey. Sign a couple of pictures for us just so our kids can see, ooh, I met so-and-so. Ooh, they signed my picture. Ooh, I met Miss Georgia. So we just, you know, we want to expose them to as much as we can in this time period, you know. Right now we do it for half a day. Of course, I'd love to see us add more games and more sporting events to be able to hold it for the whole day. Just expand and build it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a great event, and it sounds like a mammoth undertaking. I have to believe that the three of you didn't do it all alone.
No.
Want to give a shout out to some volunteers and maybe ask for some more volunteers along the way, or how would you like to do that?
Well, we definitely want to give a shout out to our resident T-shirt production crew who definitely comes through for us, Lake and Local. We want to say thank you to the Pilot Club, who was very instrumental last year in providing bags and snacks and different things for all of our
FCA
athletes.
FCA ran the concessions. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lakeside Church, and like we said earlier, they did a lot of those things.
All our special ed teachers district who, you know, even if your class wasn't going, they were very supportive. All our principals, of course, our superintendent, assistant superintendents, our family coordinator, Crystal Williams. She was very instrumental in getting the word out. This year, Lindsay Rickman has hit the ground running for us and getting us sponsors and donations. Mm-hmm. So we're thankful to Chick-fil-A last year who provided meals. And I think this year, Zaxby's is working with us to provide a few meals. We welcome any donations of money, time, service, whatever. We welcome that for our games and for our students.
And, like, really filling up our stands.
Yes.
What we really need is we need some fans. We want some signs made. We want the kids to feel encouraged. We need some cheerleaders. And I know we probably have a lot here to bring out the community.
Fans in the stands. Let's fill those stands.
That would be awesome. Yes. That would be because to see their – we got to see them up close and personal, you know, and – we got them there last year, and like all of us, we're in go time. We're trying to make sure everything's flowing like it should be. And so we really didn't have an opportunity to really step back and see how really cool it was for the kids until we got done that day, you know. And because we were just making sure everything stayed on time. We were worried about the meals getting there. We wanted to make sure they got there on time, making sure the medals got handed out, make sure people got the ribbons. And then remember the wind picked up. Yes. We'll make sure the easy ups didn't blow across. You know, I mean, that's the stuff we're thinking about. And so the more people we get involved, you know, the less things like that, and you're really able to see the celebration of the kids.
And I did. I knew I would leave off someone. Kola Ice.
Yes, Kona Ice
Kona
came.
Ice and, came. So we want.
And they're
thank
coming
them.
Again this year, and they like that. And It's just a really cool event. And what Molly does throughout the year as far as us going to places, you know, we go bowling with them. We'll go all the way to Macon or Jones County. And then this year we hosted a kickball tournament, you know, and we had four other districts. Jasper came, Jones came, Baldwin came. They all came up. We had 400 students and volunteers on our facility up here. And it was just a great day. We fed everybody. It was awesome. And just to celebrate them. You know, it really is. They have a great time. And like I tell people, they're different, not less. You know, they're different, not less.
Now Coach, now, I was there, and we started naming volunteers and folks that you wanted to thank, but I believe your bride was there, if she, I'm not mistaken.
She is, and they will be back.
She's again. Our T-shirt specialist.
Yes, okay. Yes. Kelly and Kelly
amazing.
Parham. Yes,
I just want to make sure that we.
I got to get it on there. I guess because she'll be listening. I have to get it. Yeah,
well,
Kelly
she takes
Parham.
Her crazy ideas and yes, makes
she
it
does.
Possible.
Makes it possible.
And usually, and when it comes to stuff like that, she says, "What do you want?" And then she'll be specific about design. And then after that, it's just go time. I don't have to worry about it. But her and her business partner, Kirsten Thompson. They do a really, really, and they'll be volunteering this year. They're shutting the store down that day, and they're going to come out and help the kids. And so, but they do a good job. And our T-shirt situation is a little different than most, because usually when you have a T-shirt, you have one T-shirt color and then one logo color. Well, we separate the colors out by school. So that changes. You know, if you have a navy blue logo, it can't go on a navy blue shirt, so now it becomes a red or white. And so you stay with the school. So they do a really good job of that, and that makes it a lot easier on us.
And definitely have to thank our ROTC, JROTC.
Yeah, Colonel Atkinson and his
Colonel Atkinson has been great. And they're actually meeting him and Mr. Marchetta with the drones class. And I'm meeting with them next week, actually, to go over how their kids are going to help. They wanted to meet ahead of time. They wanted to make sure that they went ahead and assigned their kids each the events. And they understood how the events ran and make sure that it's fully covered. And the kids are having a great time.
Yeah. I talked to him a day about that, and he said, yeah, he was looking forward to actually doing the events with his ROTC so they knew what the typical military, you know, every detail taken care of. He said, I want to make sure I know what the pitfalls are, what could happen, what happens if the wind blows, do we have to change something, you know, that type of stuff. So.
And for our T-shirt competition, Mr. Marchetta was really great. Our first year we did the same thing, and we just put it out to everybody, offered it out. Well, he went out and bought pizzas. Yep. And sponsored the kids and said, hey, I'm just so excited that y'all are doing something for Special Olympics or special ed students. Here you go. Here's some pizza. How else can I help encourage? He's always sending emails and wanting to help out. And he really pushes his kids to step outside of their box because it's something different from his.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about the kids and how it impacts them and so forth, the athletes as well as the main student body and stuff mm-hmm. like this. What do the families think? What do they think about what you do?
Our families last year, they were excited. I don't think as many of them recognized what would be going on, but the families that were there to see their child receive a medal, to see their child getting pushed across the finish line, you could see the smiles and the laughs on mom and dad's faces and just, I mean, they were excited. They were, can I take my athlete home? Yes, mm-hmm. You can take your
take
athlete
home.
We're going to get ice cream. It is a good, yes. So they were just, they were over the moon excited that their child was an athlete, you know. Mm-hmm. They did shot put. They did standing long jump, you know. They got a medal or mm-hmm. two or three. They were just very, very excited. They can't wait till this year, I know.
They just didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And then when they saw it, they thought it might be a glorified field day or whatever. You know, they really didn't know. And then once they saw the organization that was put in place to just celebrate their children. And they appreciated it. They really did. They really did. And I'm kind of unique in the fact from Molly and even Tierra to that point, I deal with every kid every day. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so as I was watching them, every one of those kids running around, you know, it was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't think he was going to be able to do that. But he was, you know, or whatever. And so it was really fun for me to meet the parents because I don't really get to see the parents, you know, unless I have an IEP or something like that. I really don't get to see the parents. And so that was really nice seeing them come up, you know. But like she said, they were extremely proud of their kids, very much so.
Every parent's excited. I know I have little kids, and they're just now getting into sports. And it's so exciting. It has something that you just can't wait to share with your friends. Look at what my kid did.
I know.
And I think for a lot of these parents, this is, for some of them, the first time they got to say, and look at what my child did. Look at the medal they got. And look at this awesome race that they're doing. They get to have a video of them competing in a sport. And I think it means a lot to these parents to have that, file about what their kid did in high school.
And I'll say this, Steve, from my memory from last year, there was a female athlete. She must have had, she had parents, grandparents, there were uncles.
Front row.
Aunts, front row. She had dozens and dozens of supporters there. And you need to sort of picture this, because unlike other sporting events, what's interesting is they tried to get me to do this, but I wasn't able to. So, but I think Miss Bowen was part of this. But there was some downtime, and all of a sudden, there was
a dance.
This flash mob like dance party. Erupted. You want to talk?
New Direction.
I'm sorry?
New Direction.
New Direction.
New Direction is the band. Yes. You have to learn the dance.
Yes.
So there was the outburst of a bit of a dance party. That's, and I think from that standpoint, parents was like, wait a minute. How do you get almost 100 kids that know, like, the same dance? And they were doing it, and they were doing it hard.
They were. They were singing.
There were some adults out there.
I know it. I know it.
The kids love it. It's part of their adaptive PE. They have Dance Party Friday. And so they learn all those dances. So this year we've kind of incorporated it so we can have a bit of a dance party.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents loved it. They was like, I didn't know they could do that. Yeah. I didn't know they knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. I mean, even seeing them compete, parents are like, I didn't know they could run like that. I didn't know they could do. I mean, because just like any other child, they don't perform on demand at home for parents. Like, you know, we're at home, they're just trying to, can you go get a snack?
Yes.
Go get a snack. Come sit. They're not asking them to, you know, they're not doing anything special to show their parents, oh, yeah, I learned this today in adaptive PE. So to see the wow on parents' faces as well is like, wow, they memorized a whole dance routine. They know this. And we're like, yeah, this is what they do.
They do.
And they expect for you to know it too. So that's right. You better get your dancing shoes ready this year.
I think this year we're probably going to be able to add another song to it. So if we had another little
flex, if
you don't know the flex, it's coming.
We'll teach you.
Steve knows the flex, but I don't.
We can teach anybody during the games. So just come join us on the track and we'll show you how to do it.
Sure
do.
So, yes, hundreds and hundreds of athletes and others doing the same dance routine is quite a sight.
At 11 o'clock on a Friday morning right in downtown Eton Town.
Nice.
And this year, another thing that we're doing is we're really going to highlight our seniors this year. We plan to have their picture on the
Jumbotron
with their name and their little cap and gown or black and white pictures that they take. With a little information about them, just so they can, because they're who leads off our walk around the track. So they hold the torch and lead the crowd around the track. So we're going to highlight them as they compete throughout the games with their pictures and a little bio about them. So their parents can have my baby was on the Jumbotron.
That's right.
Yeah, we do it with all the other sports. We always have a senior night, so this is kind of their senior night for them.
Right. One really cool thing, and I was making reference to the things Molly kind of sets up during the year. When we had that large kickball tournament, everybody showed up and they all had shirts. You know, Jones County had purple shirts and Baldwin County had red shirts and all this stuff. And our kids were just out there playing. And so we ended up coming up, Coach Stokes came up with jerseys for them. And it says Putnam County Special Forces. And so the teachers keep those, and when they go on the road to one of these events, like we've went to, what all we went to? We went, we had flag football, went somewhere
else.
Wiffle ball. Went to wiffle ball. Now we got something, what was coming up in March?
Ultimate football.
Ultimate football is coming up the 27th. So they get to wear their special forces jerseys. And you're talking about proud now. They put them bad boys on. It's like, you know, you
And those sports are different than the War Eagle Games. Because at the War Eagle Games, it's just your special needs students. Mm-hmm. But at these, they're unified. So half the team is special needs. Half the team is the general students. Mm-hmm. And so they play together, and it's really neat
to watch that. They enjoy that. There's that interaction with the regular ed population that not only is useful, but is necessary for those children.
So how do our regular athletes get involved with this unified sports? Your special athletes, I know you've probably already got them identified, but how would our regular athletes be able to sign up for that or volunteer for that, or how does that work?
So in August, we do Partners Club is what we use. You have to be in the Partners Club because we go over the general rules and how to behave and no cell phones. So we discuss things like that and tell them about the point of it. So we have a Partners Club meeting every year at the beginning of the year, and they'll just come find me in the gym any period. And get them involved in it and sign them up. And we definitely would love to have more athletes and more students. Some of our students that are involved in it don't even play a sport for the school, but they're all about this, and everybody can play kickball. Mm-hmm. So we would like any student who's interested in coming and joining us and helping to come join it.
Very cool. So let's remind everybody when this next event is happening and that we really encourage them to be in the stands, right?
March 22nd, 2024, meet us at the stadium. We want to fill the stands with all the fans of our Putnam War Eagle students for our War Eagle game. So come out and join us. Again, that is March the 22nd. 2024. If that is a rainout day, it is rescheduled for April the 12th, 2024, and they start at 9 a.m.
And it's free of charge.
Free of charge.
Free of charge.
Be in the stands by 8:30.
Yes.
That's right.
And be ready to cheer in at the opening ceremonies as they come into the stadium and all of the hoopla of the Olympics. The Olympic torch, the march
everything.
Of the team.
The band playing.
The band played the Olympic creed. You know, we read that, you know.
All of that.
Concessions
will be available, so come on out.
Yep.
And if there are any local famous people, we still have the opportunity.
Please email Tiara.
This is awesome. So as we're finishing up, Mr. Rena, do you have anything else you want to close with?
I just want to say, you know, how proud I am of the fact that we're celebrating kids, every kid, and individually, and that we're all different. But you know what? We're all the same. We can show compassion, and we can show our competitive spirit. It doesn't matter how tall we are, or how short we are, or what, you know, how God made us. But to be able to go and to celebrate and to be able to support our students. I just thank you for the games, but more importantly, I want to thank the teachers every single day that work with our students and make a difference every single day.
Thanks for listening to Putnam Proud. Do you know someone who hasn't listened to Putnam Proud yet? It would be awesome if you shared this show with a friend, colleague, community member, family, everyone you know. The Putnam Proud podcast is created for educational purposes. All opinions are those of guest and host. Thanks for listening.